May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case, he came, the lost, to seek and save by grace. Hymn 669.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16. Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. They trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let us pray. Most merciful and gracious God, the I am that I am, the Almighty. And we do bow before thee and plead the sweet truth that we read of in thy word, for God is love. And Lord, we're opposite to love, we're filth and wickedness and rebellion, and selfish and murderous, covetous and worldly. And Lord, we see very little love left among the sons of men, apart from a selfish love, which leads to self-admiration. Save us from such a love. But oh, may we know thy great love, wherewith thou hast loved us. And thy great love in laying down thy life for the sheep, thy sheep, and even for us poor sinners, Lord. All thy great love in thy long-suffering mercies to us. Lord, some of us can truly say, we still feel ashamed of ourselves. All thy dealings with us over the years have been in love. And we can honestly say, and humbly say, it's been love all the way, mercy all the way, goodness all the way, tenderness all the way. But oh, our need is so great. We have to say, Lord, as we see the day approaching, as we journey on, our need seems to get greater. Oh, do come and do poor helpless sinners good. We're those poor sinners, Lord, sunk in sin's tremendous cell. And oh, we do, from time to time indeed, again and again, feel the fiery darts of hell. Oh, we look unto thee, dear Emmanuel, Jehovah's co-equal and co-eternal Son. Oh, that real friend of sinners, that solid friend of sinners. Oh, there's none like unto thee. Oh, thou sitting on the throne of grace this evening, Lord, look down upon us in mercy. Do minister the gospel. Minister the gospel to our hearts, Lord. May the heavens drop down fatness, Lord, and the skies pour down righteousness. May there be those crumbs that shall fall from the gospel table, which we poor dogs will lick up and eat up, Lord. We pray, Lord, that there may be some word in season, or some gracious word to us, Lord, that will be like apples of gold and pictures of silver, that thou mightest be precious and blessed to us, that we might, even as we sit here tonight, in a little way, bow down our heads and worship. Or we would see Jesus as we come into the house of God tonight. Lord, we do need thee in our lives, we really do. We often fear about the future, wonder how things will turn out and for us, Lord, and unfold for us, and find ourselves so full of unbelief and a doubting frame. We've just read that is upbraid the disciples of unbelief, and how we find it so hard to believe the report. They doubted the resurrection. And Lord, we find, Lord, that while we indeed do, in the intellectual sense, believe the report, but it's my case. Oh, here is the weakness, my case, my unbelieving heart. Oh, how can God look upon me? But Lord, we do pray that we may know something of thy gracious look into our hearts. We pray that we might know what it is for thee to arise upon us with healing in thy wings. Lord, that thou wilt give a little glimpse of thy sweet face. And Lord, that thou wilt indeed give us one of thy looks. We might know that thou art our beloved, and that we are thy beloved. Lord, come and do us good. And there's among us where there's heartache and soul trouble, where there's fresh contracted guilt upon the conscience, with real weakness, where there are rising fears about the future, with that doubting spirit, that halting in the way, that readiness to turn back, that halting between two opinions, where there's the flesh lusting against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. And there's so much uncertainty and hesitation with us. Oh Lord, be everlasting light and guide. Lord, we try to pray this morning, may we see light in thy light. Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, even from afar off. Oh, bless us and do us good. We must confess our sins. It's a shameful thing. But we're real sinners. Mercy to be preserved in the outward walk, but oh, the plague within. But Lord, we do look back over the journey, our falls, our defilements outwardly, our mistakes. Oh Lord, oh, there are things with us we hope will always be secret from others. But we do want to confess them all to thee and weep before thee about it all. Want to feel the cleansing fountain about all these things. And Lord, we want a fresh application of the fountain. Oh Lord, we prove so much that the Canaanite dwells in the land. Lord, do forgive our sins. Oh Lord, sins of omission. Oh, the things we should have done. The way we should have spoken. Oh Lord. Oh, we've left so much out. So much out in the walk, in the profession, in works. And how, Lord, oh, we steal and rob God in our very heart. We omit to give thee all the glory, Lord. Oh, it's a black record. And sins of commission are trespasses, trampling, breaking through hedges, Lord. Oh, the grief, but there's forgiveness. How wonderful. Well, we have to say with the psalmist, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Can't stand. No, we can't. If thou shouldst mark our iniquity, we're done and that forever. But Lord, there's forgiveness with thee. Thou mayest be feared. Reverence, love, delighted in, worshipped. Oh, Lord, that thou mayest be served with godly fear and trembling here. It's a delightful exercise. It's a good exercise, and it leads to sweetness and honey and milk and wine. It truly does. Oh, do grant it to us, Lord. Maybe no real repentance more. When we consider what we are and the continual workings in our flesh, Lord, we do pray in like manner there may be that continual brokenness and godly sorrow with us. Oh, what a sweet thing is godly sorrow. It's different to worldly sorrow. That's death. It's misery. But oh, godly sorrow. It worketh repentance unto salvation. Oh Lord, indeed a part of the paths of peace and happiness, to have godly sorrow with love in our heart to Christ. Oh Lord, oh may we know that brokenness, that tenderness. But do give us, Lord, that precious faith. Oh, that precious faith that wrestles. That precious faith that won't give up. Precious faith that daren't turn back. Oh, that precious faith that humbly and quietly trusts in the name of the Lord. Oh, that the precious faith that fills its mouth with arguments and says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Oh, do grant it to us. And please order our way safely, Lord. We confess before thee our frailty and mortality. We're soon bowled over. We soon begin sinking. The weakness itself, a cowardly flesh. Oh Lord, strong in its native sinnership, but so weak under trial. Unbelief gets so strong. Oh Lord, oh, do lead us safely along. Please be with us and strengthen our weak hands. And do confirm our feeble knees. Order our way safely here below. And Lord, we do pray then that we might trust in thee. Look unto thee. Wait upon thee. And bless the gospel here tonight. May it be a real gospel, a true gospel. Or maybe, Lord, the gospel preached under the sweet influence of God the Holy Ghost. Oh, then there will be some life in the word. And hopefully all we do beg, oh blessed Spirit, bless sinners. Oh, do bless sinners. There's those who want a blessing, feel so unfit for God, who feel they'll never get the blessing, they're too bad, who fear to presume. Oh, bless those who fear to presume. Oh, do show them thy love. Visit them with sweet forgiveness and comfort in their heart. They might know they're not being presumptuous in calling upon thee, that they're thine. Let's love them with an everlasting love. Therefore, let's draw them with loving kindness, though they be the very chief of sinners. Oh, Lord, do sanctify us, Lord, to really value thee, and to so take up our cross daily and to follow thee, and to fear God and eschew evil, and to walk in the paths of peace and righteousness. Lord, do bless us tonight. Remember families. We pray for dear children, little ones. We bring them unto thee, little ones in arms. Lord, bless them. We love to see them in Zion and hear them in Zion. Love their dear little faces, Lord. Oh, they look so sweet. Oh, we have to solemnly realise, as one with one's own family when they were babes and grandchildren now, Lord. Although they look so sweet and lovely, they're sinners. They grow up sinners. What will become of them, Lord? Which way will they go? Lord, we bring them to thee. Bless them. Oh, in due time, my perfect way, from heaven's court, lay thy hands upon them and bless them. Oh, they might know the drawing love of God in their heart. Oh, they might know that real spirit of repentance and faith. They may be blessed with eternal life. We do pray this, Lord. We pray for their natural welfare. None of us know the future and what sorrows may come upon us and our dear little ones. What gloomy lines are writ for any one of us, young or old. What bright scenes may rise. We think of our dear little ones. Oh Lord, oh bless them, the vital thing. Whatever they may live to see and have to walk through, it will be well if they're blessed by thee. They will get to heaven. Oh, sorrow and sighing will one day in their experience flee away forever, that they may be with thee forevermore. Do grant this, Lord. And the dear youth and the young men and young women, give them wisdom and grace and godly fear. Write thy laws upon the fleshy tables of their hearts and pass by their souls and say, live, and they will live, Lord. Also, Lord, we beg that thou remember the afflicted and the weak and those that are ageing and those who feel the increasing infirmities and have to solemnly realise after so many years of natural powers and vigour, yet, Lord, it is a mud wall cottage after all. And it must decay and weather away and fall away. All these poor frail tabernacles, because of our sins, because we love sin, Lord, they must gradually break up and disintegrate, and our spirit shall return to God who gave it. Oh, that we may be well prepared for such a day. And do then remember all friends and age and the weakness with feeling infirmities. Remember mothers and wives in the home life, the married and the unmarried, those that live alone. We'll remember each. And those who may have some serious matter with them that weighs so heavily upon them. Grant them some relief and enable them to look to thee and to thou speak to their heart, and that they may be enabled sweetly to cast their burden upon the Lord. That we each may be helped to cast our many, many cares upon thee. We didn't touch upon it really fully this morning. That sweet truth. We ran out of time, Lord. Before he careth for you. Oh, may we know by care. We have known it. But Lord, we want to know it again. And again. Lord, it's an eternal care. Lord, it's from thy loving heart. Oh, Lord, it's an everlasting love. So it's a care in thy eternal thought and purpose from all eternity. And Lord, it's made known in time. It's performed in our little lives here. Whereby we may have sweet hope that we shall see thee at last in peace, face to face. Remember this people and bind them together in godly fear, in love one toward another. May they pray one for another. May they weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. O Lord, may there be that abiding in union. May thy work appear, keep them to the truth and the sweet simplicity of it. Keep them each in need and keep them poor, we humbly pray. And unto them such as shall be saved. Bring them to this village and district, Lord, such as shall be saved, we pray. Those engaged to marry. We'll be very gracious to them. Bless them and guide them. Be their future. May they not only know all those sweet ties of real love, sweet love together, and the natural happiness and felicity and joy and the kind gift of each other to each other. But Lord, oh, the best loves have a worm. Oh, bless them. And bless them in their souls, that they might know an everlasting love, and they might live together as heirs together of the grace of God, joined heirs with Christ, and to face reality as they journey on, that their life and time together is only for a moment, compared with the eternal ages. They live in hope together through the riches of thy grace. That when they're called to leave one another, when the marriage tie is severed forever, O Lord, they might see thee. It's a vital point, Lord, for every one of us. Or that we might be prepared. So bless all our young friends. Order their way safely. And each of them in their needs and providence and circumstances. Oh, bless our young friends. Plant them in thy church. May they know what it is to be in want. May they know indeed to feel that wound of sin within. May they know what it is to be washed, Lord, and visited, and healed, and cured with that infallible cure, the virtue of Jesus. Oh, bless our young friends. And may they be found in their dying generation serving God. And that they may be among those that are called thy witnesses in the earth. Thou art God. Oh, we thank you for so many mercies. Our cup runs over. We thank you for the seasons, the beautiful seasons. And do bless thee for the harvest. There are perhaps still the root crops yet to be gathered in. Yet, oh, so much has been gathered in. We live in hope indeed of the continuing of the seasons according to thy promise. While the earth remains. A faithful God. But now we must turn to thy word. Most our great need. tremendous need tonight. Oh, how we need the Holy Ghost. And as all the dry ground, the parched ground, the thirsty ground, the poor dried up sinners that long for a shower of rain, as those with weights and exercises, spiritual longings, oh Lord, oh do pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. What a mercy. Oh, poor ministers are just so limited. So limited. But thou art unlimited. Oh, there's such a fullness of grace thou can suit thy word to each case. Oh, what a mercy that thou art unlimited. In blessing thou art blessed. In multiplying thou art multiplied. We're poor, whether we're in the pulpit or the pew, but thou art rich. And we want those riches. Oh, the riches of free grace, everlasting love and everlasting strength, and the glorious robe, and those riches that will bring us home to glory, Lord, where we shall crown thee, Lord of all. Lord, have mercy on us. So bless us and do us good here tonight, and pardon our many, many, many sins. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 744. No awful sense we find of sin, the sinful life and sinful heart, no loathing of the plague within, until the Lord that feel impart. But when the Spirit of truth is come, a sinner trembles at his doom. Hymn 744.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayer for attention to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 16 and to verses 15 and 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, it shall be saved. But he that believeth not, shall be damned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These are the pure words of Emmanuel and his instruction to the apostles. He has ordained the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And his precious gospel has gone out into all the world. I do not intend to speak so much of the gospel ministry, the calling of it, and God will call and fit and qualify whom he will. He often sends the chief of sinners to preach and fools to preach and poor sinners slow of heart to believe, and men with infirmities and weaknesses, subject to many passions and temptations, but by his sanctifying grace and by his mighty power, he so sends them forth to declare him, Two things I see particularly concerning the gospel ministry. Firstly, a real solemn sense of our complete ruin. And so the sweet and sacred saving knowledge of Emmanuel brought into the heart. And secondly, an anointing. There has to be an anointing. Many may be blessed with eternal life and have to wade through deep waters under conviction and sorrow and distress. And many may be favoured with a revelation of Christ, but they may not be anointed to preach. That's been anointing, my friend. And oh, may we pray indeed to the Lord of the harvest that he would indeed send more labour into his harvest. For the harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Jesus looked on the fields and said, they're white, ready to harvest, and he applied it to going forth to preach the everlasting gospel. You see, there is to be a harvest, isn't there? Oh, it's a solemn thought. I've got to be harvested, friends. And so have you got to be harvested. Oh, that we might be ready, white, for harvest. Yes, are coming in as a shock of corn, fully ripe. Earthly men may make mistake on the readiness of the harvest, and perhaps through circumstances, maybe get a little bit early and got too much moisture, and so on, or the weather may be a great hindrance to the right time. But, oh, the Lord never makes a mistake. He puts his sickle in at the right time. Thinking particularly to his dear people. Oh, it's good to pray loud prayers about our end, you know, friends. It's good to light prayers about our dying day. It really is. And to plead with him, make me ready, Lord. Pardon my sins, Lord. Do graciously with me, Lord. Make thyself precious and real unto me, Lord. O Lord, don't let me merely live to myself, but do sanctify me, Lord, to live to thee. I feel the Lord will make you ready, friend, if that is the substance of your cries. We can't really speak of the wicked being ready for harvest, can we? Well, you can in this sense, when they fill up their cup of iniquity. They're not ready to go to heaven, far from it. They've ripened for hell. They've ripened for damnation. Solemn thought, isn't it? I quoted this morning, or was it this afternoon, except ye repent, shall likewise perish. Well, may the Lord send laborers into heaven to every creature. Every creature. As the Lord has given an open door and an open mouth and by his Spirit to declare to every creature something of these good tidings. Good tidings, friend. Oh, there's no evil tidings in the gospel in the sense that it's good tidings, for Christ is the substance. But there are solemn warnings. For evil tidings, the word of God in this sense, you see, there is a judgment. But my friends, you see, the substance is the good tidings. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Oh, glory to God in the highest. He's given a Saviour. The evil tidings are the faithful declarations of our true state before God. And the evil tidings are that if we continue in our sin and stubbornness of heart and self-will, so my friend, there is a solemn eternity awaiting us, for God will bring every work into judgment, reveal every secret thing. Every sermon you've heard by an anointed minister of the gospel, anointed by the Holy Ghost, friends, it will be revealed in the last day. And what profit has there been? Or has there been a rebellion against it, a shutting of the ear, a closing of the eyes? Or has there been a hardness of heart? Oh, my friends, has there been a forsaking? God bring everything into judgment. We cannot fully understand the eternal thought of God. He knows everything. Absolutely everything. And he knows all about your longings and your sighs and your distresses and your rising hopes and the wrestlings that you have. He knows it all because he sees all and hears all. He observes all. And particularly, he knows his own work. Isn't it solemn? You know, there are people sitting here that, you know, there's no work of God in them. There's no work of God. There's a work of God in providence. We've been placed under the gospel. But though we have a work of God in the fact, in his providential reign and his power over us, we're found under the gospel, but have we a work of God? He knows where there is a work of God, for he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And that travail of soul of Christ appears in your soul travail. Your anxieties, your spiritual longings, is seen in your confessions and your groanings which cannot be uttered, and your hopes and your fears alternate rising in the spiritual warfare. But I must come to the substance of the gospel. But go into all the world and preach the gospel. Or may the Lord fit and qualify by anointing. The anointing of the Holy Ghost to go forth and to preach Christ in all the world according to his eternal purposes. And to preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Declare it. What is the gospel, my friends? That's what I really want to come to. Or that sacred term, the gospel. The gospel. It's a sacred preaching and publishing the wondrous work of God, the wondrous love of God, the wondrous mercy of God, or the wondrous blessings of God, forgiveness of sins, righteousness wrought for us who are so unrighteous. Oh, I said this afternoon, our unrighteous thoughts, our sinful thoughts, earlier today, and before we close our eyes tonight, a robe provided, free grace pardon, salvation without money and without price. Notice that the promises, the sweet invitations and the promises, you know, dear friends, they're usually tied to certain characters. You may think that is limiting the gospel. It's not. What sort of character are you here tonight? Do you know, if you're a child of God, you'll say, oh, my sins. My sins, my sins. Oh, my wandering heart. Oh, my backslidings. Oh, my dreadful spirit. Oh, you see. If you have the work of God in your heart, you'll feel this. But there'll be those desires arising. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. How we feel our poverty in the sight of God. How we solemnly know our ruin. A friend in the vestry said to him 6 months straight away, he didn't quote the line, and I said nothing, but oh, that just suits me, Lord. Poor sinner sunk in sin's tremendous cell. Do you feel that at times? Believers know the truth, you see. It's not truth that they were a sinner. It's truth that we are a sinner. But those believers, you see, they're told something with power and authority, and the sweet truth is written in their heart. That their help and their salvation is bound up in the Lamb. And you see, the gospel brings a saving knowledge of eternal life. When I say saving knowledge, I don't mean an intellectual knowledge of what eternal life is about, as you may read it in the Bible, but a life to you and a life to me. A hunger. A thirst, repentance, precious rising faith, oh, godly fear, reverencing the Son of God, delighting in the Son of God, a shedding abroad of love and a kindling of love to him and love to his people and love to his works and ways and his precious word especially. Oh, my friends, the precious gospel. You see, it's the news set forth by the foolishness of preaching. And many are saved by the Holy Spirit's power in the gospel. The truth of the gospel, not in its mere naked word, but as the Holy Spirit makes it life to our souls and brings it to our hearts. You won't be offended in me saying that, will you? I believe there are those here, they feel they long to know more of the power of the gospel. Long to know more of its effect in your life, don't you? You long to live more to Christ and how you fail, but so glad to hear of forgiveness and a complete forgiveness. I think really the most sweetest and greatest blessings and sense of the gospel, they cheer you in your helplessness and guiltiness and your conflicts and your condemnations and your tremblings, because you're directed. And you see, it's a sweet direction with power. The heavens, they drop down sweet truth into your soul under the power of the Holy Ghost in the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, a great fear and trembling concerning this text. I came along and sat in the vestry this morning, clear with the morning's text, but nothing for the evening. And so many thoughts had come into my mind yesterday and on the journey here. This text came and that text came, but I knew it wasn't the right text somehow. But this came to me, but as I sat and pondered, you know, and thought this afternoon and again this evening in the vestry, Lord, the gospel's so vast, it's so full. Oh, Lord, it's so blessedly comprehensive, yet it's so blessedly simple. And where can I begin? Wherever do I begin? The first thing I want to say is this. The gospel's for sinners. That beautiful thing, that, you know. The gospel's for sinners. Oh, my friends, the precious truth of Jesus Christ. Yes, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a faithful saying. Oh, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The holy gospel record shows very plainly, and religious people hated it, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Certain truths of the gospel are set forth clearly, that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And therefore, under the powerful instruction of the gospel, you will know and realize how lost you are. There are times when I feel so helpless in myself, and that makes me to know how lost I am. And when I find a very powerful sin rising, sin in its power rising, and you feel Satan's got inside you, and how helpless and lost we are, who can deal with indwelling sin in its rising power? Only the resurrection. Oh, only the power of Christ. The rising love and victory of Christ over sin, death and hell. You've no powers against the infernal pit. Or Beelzebub, have you? He's too powerful for you and too powerful for me. And having fallen, we have a nature. We have a nature that loves forbidden things and loves sin. Oh, but dear friends, the precious gospel declares an absolute remedy, a free grace and a free mercy remedy. And the precious gospel instructs poor sinners what to do, what to do. And how sweet it is when in all your miry clay and helplessness and sense of guilt, you know, that instruction is instruction of life to your soul. It's instruction of life. You have to go to Emmanuel's feet and confess your sins to him and wait upon him and tell him all your secrets. But you know, I feel really, I'm in a sweet labyrinth of a glorious truth. Oh, my friends, not a labyrinth of dark tunnels, but a labyrinth of so many aspects of divine truth. We can never get to the end of the glorious truth of Jesus Christ. So the Lord have to say a few things. It may be disorderly, but may the Holy Ghost bring a few little springing thoughts into my soul, for the subject is so vast, and I feel almost the weight of it that I really can't begin to declare anything. It's so vast. My dear friends, there is forgiveness with God. Now, forgiveness is something that's an absolute thing. Not a partial forgiveness. You know, it's not forgiveness upon conditions. If you do this and improve your life, the Lord will forgive you. That's a hard task. And let me be plain from the pulpit. no flesh could be saved by that gospel. If that was the gospel, no flesh could be saved. But it's a complete forgiveness, an absolute forgiveness. The high priest on the great day of atonement confessed the sins of Israel for that year, only that year. It's type and shadow of glorious things. But that year, upon the scapegoat, and he laid his hands and confessed the sins of Israel, the people of God there. And the scapegoat was taken and led away by a fit man into the land of forgetfulness, it was called. Right into the wilderness, so far it couldn't find its way back. That's a very beautiful truth, you know, that the Lord has put the sins of his dear people behind his back. You see, he has knowledge of them, but his wrath is pacified. He's satisfied. He loves the sinner. So he does not remember their sins anymore against them. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, as we often do, I'm not going to flatter my friends, I daren't. We often grieve the Spirit. I know it bitterly. And I believe some of you do. He doesn't, my dear friends, remember those sins in wrath and vengeance. But in the grieving of the Spirit, he reproves us for them and shows us how bad we are, that it breaks our hearts. And in precious faith, because he gives you the faith to believe, you confess and repent toward him. And oh, his loving heart soon relents, and it brings peace to your heart and conscience again. You see, he's actually finished wrath. He emptied himself of wrath when he poured out fiery vengeance upon his beloved Son. There's no more wrath to the church. Fatherly chastenings are not wrath. They're necessary humblings and corrections to bring us to really value Christ. It is a mystery, but you know there's no more remembrance of sin in heaven, isn't there? It's the land of forgetfulness. I nearly preached from it this afternoon, but I didn't. I've had to preach that word of God, which believe is precious, that believe that he is precious. But there was on my mind at the close of Revelation, or the penultimate chapter there, for the former things are passed away. The former things are passed away in heaven. There's no more remembrance of sin. Now, we can't completely, fully understand this because our minds are so finite and so limited and so darkened with our ignorance. But you know, he remembers our sins no more. And you know this when he's made precious to your soul. It's a wonderful thing, my friends, to, by the precious gospel, so believe in the forgiveness of sins. And I'm quoting from one of the old creeds here. And it's not just an intellectual thing. It's so to believe the forgiveness of sins, you plead him and you repent toward him and you trust to that great sacrifice for sin. We're sinners in the sight of God. The tender conscience knows it. The precious gospel instructs you and I to flee unto him. Yes, to confess our sins unto him, and to plead Jesus the Lamb, and to ask the Lord to help us more and more to trust in the Lamb, to believe in the Lamb, and to so flee to that precious Lamb. And I believe you'll find in that exercise sweet relief, because the Holy Ghost makes the Lamb precious to your soul. You see, the Lord said this, didn't he? Except ye the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you've no life in you. And what is it to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood? Friends, it's to plead him and live upon him in your prayers and live upon him in your thoughts and say, Lord, I'm a terrible sinner, a chief of sinners, but I really do believe thou art the Lamb, and thy blood speaks. So, Lord, I plead thee before thy holy face, and I do want to know what it is to eat thee a little and receive divine nourishment, an infallible cure, an everlasting love, because thou art the Son of Man in heaven. Oh, thou art that glorious friend. Oh, that thou art our friend in heaven. And therefore thou hast promised things, Lord. Oh, bless me indeed. You will be blessed. I don't say it on account of my judgment, but what the pure word of God says, in blessing I'll bless thee, promote my, multiply thee. So he called Abraham to that blessing, and Isaac and Jacob, because he loved them. And you who confess your sins and hunger and thirst after righteousness and long for the Lord's blessing, he calls you, to be blessed and to be multiplied. My friends, the object is Christ. We've no real religion if Christ is not our object. So therefore there's a living upon his bounty. I want to go a little further, my dear friends. You see, that precious blood speaks in the court of heaven this evening. And the covenant promise is that in calling upon his name, we shall be saved. And therefore there's a going out after him for that great salvation. And therefore it is a coming to the one appointed by God. The gospel shows and declares one appointed by God. And one who is set down at the right hand of power. God's gracious high priest. Now this is very wonderful because we're so bad, we're so frightened, we're so nervous. Oh, we get all mixed up and upside down in our thoughts and exercises. We cannot see our signs. We find, and what a mercy to find some friends in the Bible. Have you got some real spiritual friends and companions in the Bible, my friend? Make haste to help me, O Lord, for I am poor and needy. Father, I have sinned and come short. Oh, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make one of thy hired servants. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and a crown and a ring on his finger. And let's kill the fatted calf. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's the precious truth of God's bounty, receiving sinners to bless them. But you see, this blessed one of the right hand of power, you know, he's God's great high priest. There's a priest between your soul and God. He's been provided by God. Now, the beauty of this priest is, my friends, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Satan came with power against him when, as a man of sorrow, the acquainted grief, he was hungry and weak after 40 days of fasting. A voluntary weakness, but it was a physical weakness because, my dear friends, of fasting. And Satan came upon him to destroy him, if he could, but he couldn't. But he knows the assaults and the power against him. Therefore, he knows the assaults and the powers that come against you. The temptations that seize your soul, the threatenings of the enemy, and the contradictions, hath God said. Contradictions and whispers about the word of God and the truths of the gospel, or your hope and your exercises. If thou be the Son of God, if you really are, do this. Let's prove it. Let's see it now. Get thee behind me, Satan. And how Jesus dealt with Satan from the word of God. There's a divine pattern there. Plead the, the sweet truths of the gospel. Plead the sweet truths of the gospel in all your fierce temptations, all the dreadful things that go on in your heart. Plead the sweet truths of the everlasting gospel. And you know that blessed high priest, he's got such a loving heart. He loves his dear people. And you see, not just a high priest for them to intercede and to plead their cause, and he does, blessed be God, but he's their king. He reigns over them. There's a king in heaven. You know, he's the king of grace. He's the king of Salem, the king of peace. He's the most blessed king. He actually invites sinners to him and to come and be his guest. Come to all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, my dear friends, he calls in the blind and lame and the halt and the weak to come and be his guest. And you know, he's the very bridegroom of his church. It seems impossible to some of you now, doesn't it, perhaps sitting here, and often, sometimes my faith gets so tried, I can hardly believe the Lord could do such favour toward this chief of sinners. But you know, friends, this work of grace will bring you on to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the work of grace, you feel so unfit, so unfit. How you want to be clothed and washed and prepared. You want the Lord to come and reign and deal with the inside, don't you? To come and pull down the strongholds of Satan. How you want, my dear friends, David's greater son, Jesus, to come and take the stronghold of your heart, you see. Oh, David took the stronghold of the Jebusite, didn't he? Oh, the Israelites could not cast them out. They were there. But in David's time, you see, yes, with his army, so these band of men, they took the stronghold of the Jebusite, the top place of the heart, the real fortification. You've got some fortifications of indwelling sin in your heart. Can't eradicate it. Oh, but his loving heart, you see, he knows the grief and the pain you feel within. You see, he felt the grief and the pain in his own soul for all your gross wickedness and my gross wickedness. I do hope and pray and would mercifully believe. But friends, you see, he loves his people. He'll have all the heart or nothing. So he wins them by his grace. But I'm not getting on very well or very far, really. I must just speak, my friends, of that robe of righteousness before I pass on. That robe of righteousness. You know, we feel our badness every day. Do you feel the rags of nature and the dregs of nature? But my friends, he has lived, I said this afternoon, he lived that lovely, holy, spotless life. It is a marvel to me, you know. It's a marvel to me that this poor, vile sinner should ever be accounted righteous. Only righteous people can dwell with God, you know. Only righteous people can go to heaven. Only righteous people can. Nothing that defileth or maketh the lie shall ever enter in, we read. Oh dear. What can we do? Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Pity, mercy, love, joined with power. When the Lord first blessed me, you know, I entered into something I'd never known before. I suppose I'd heard it preached for years. It didn't mean anything to me. I knew by guilt on my conscience I needed washing and forgiveness. But in all those years, I heard about a robe of righteousness, but it just seemed to realise how you could get these things, how they could come. When the Lord blessed me, I perceived, oh, blessed God, who was actually my righteousness. Jesus is the sinner's righteousness. All that fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. But I must hasten. But it's a beautiful truth, isn't it? You're unrighteous today. See, righteousness has got to be something absolutely spotless and white. It don't have a spot on it. It's not righteousness, it's got a spot. One foolish thought, just perhaps for a split second, no righteousness. Oh, the rest of your life might be wonderful and holy, but one sin, friend, ruin. Oh, but he wrought that wrath. Is it a sweet truth to you? It is, it because you'll plead it, you see. It's something that you'll value. The invaluable righteousness of Jesus Christ. His name is, one of his titles or names is Jehovah Sid Kenyu, the Lord, our righteousness. But I have to hasten on. The gospel, you know, I'm leaving things out and I must hasten quickly. The gospel message, the gospel sentences and invitations to poor men in their troubles and their weaknesses and their trials and their sins and their temptations and their fears and their illnesses and their sicknesses, in their troubles at home, in their troubles at work, in their soul troubles, and all the family trials that you may meet with. Oh, those sweet invitations in all your helplessness, in the miry clay and floundering and blundering and staggering to and fro like a drunken man, to look to him. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord said that knowing his dear people are so troubled. And the Lord Jesus said that, knowing full well, having said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause come I unto this hour of trouble for my dear people. They're in such trouble. Oh, I'm the only one that can help them. Oh, I'm their surety. I'm their husband and their friend. Let not your heart be troubled, he says to his troubled people. Now, you know your troubles here tonight, don't you? They're your troubles. They're peculiar to you. They're unique to you. I've got my troubles, you've got yours. We tend to think our own troubles are the worst, but that's because of the reality of them. We can't help having those feelings. It's very natural to us. Ah, our soul is troubled. We're bowed down. Oh, how David said his heart was troubled. His soul was bowed down within him. But he did say in Psalm 140, yes, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. I'll tell you, friends, the Lord doesn't despise you for being troubled. He knows you are. It's part, my friends, of his sacred teaching in your soul. It's part of the reality of the truth about ourselves. The situation his dear bride is in. But his bride belongs to him. A beautiful margin in Exodus. I don't think I can find it now. There shall be a peculiar, if thou dost keep my word and walk in my ways, there shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. You know, the margin is as one's own property. The peculiar, I don't know if I can find it, the peculiar treasure of God's dear people. You see, that they're his property. They're his property. I'm not going to get confusing trying to find it. But it's in Exodus somewhere where he says they a peculiar treasure. And the marginal is this, you see, one's own property. So he says to his peculiar treasure, having poured out his soul unto death for them, and bearing their iniquities and transgressions. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I know your troubles. And I know you can't get yourself out of your troubles. But you do. You believe in God. Believe also in me now. Here's your relief. Here's your help. Here's your strength. Here's your hope. Believe also in me. In my blood. In my love. In my might. In my power. In the tender, loving heart. In my wisdom and my skill. My mighty hand. My guiding hand. My gentle hand. My perfect ways. Oh, my eternal thoughts. Believe in my eternal thoughts. Believe in my covenant. Oh, believe that I've sealed all promises with my blood. And my love is everlasting. It's from everlasting unto everlasting. Just like my mercy from everlasting to everlasting. Believe also in me. Well, in this believing there's a real coming and a real looking and a real pleading and a real casting of our care, this morning's word. I try to emphasise the care of soul as well as the body. Every matter, spreading it before him. Believe also in me, yes, I am gracious. I delight in mercy. Yes, you see, and the sweet truth, I will receive you. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee. Oh, my dear friends, you see, he receives his dear people. Be a father unto them. Oh, he receives poor sinners, as they said in cavilling and hatred. This man receiveth sinners. He receives them into his company. Oh, and he receives them, my dear friends, in covenant bonds and love and holy ties. Because they belong to him. There is peculiar treasure. And what are they? Sinners saved by grace. Oh, they're sinners saved by grace. The scriptures are so faithful because I think I'll think of Solomon, one of the most, well, he's the wisest man upon earth apart from Emmanuel himself. Such a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And fancy, he went into idolatry in his old age. It's strange and solemn, isn't it? We believe and know he was restored, but fancy doing that, my friend. Love and everlasting love still. He receives sinners. Sinners. Or with a sinnership to old age and their dying breath. I was thinking in the interval, think about friends home really about this. It's rather sweet sitting there trying to think upon these precious things, you know. The death that we fear. Will be the happiest day of your life, believer. You say, oh, I don't know whether you ought to be saying that to me. Well, I need the Lord to say it to me because I fear death very much sometimes. For so I'm ready. But you know, the death of a believer is the happiest day. You know, two things are there. They'll see him. Oh, happiness. Solid, eternal happiness to see him. And the end of sin. I hope your sinnership troubles you, my friend. And I hope you long for Christ. One day, your sinnership will trouble you no more. No more. You see, dear friends, he knows our worries and anxieties. How often we're afraid to die. May we be helped to believe in him and look to him. Well, it's gone 10-2. I really haven't got on hardly at all. But that we must leave with God. But you know, your dying day will be your happiest day, believer. How we need faith to be strengthened to believe such things and to still venture to Christ. While we so feel our rags and our ruin. But may we believe in the robe of righteousness. And so draw near. I wanted to speak of the gospel and its sweet droppings down and communion to the heart, but it's too late really. But so I must think about closing. Yes, and just one more thing concerning this gospel. I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. He's ascended. Not only as a living high priest, the living saviour. Oh, my dear friends, that living stone, disallowed indeed of men. But he's ascended to build the new Jerusalem. Preparing, yes, such a mansion. A mansion in the skies. Many years ago I went to a funeral of some man who used to be a strict Baptist, and he left our ways, but because of his association with them, went to the funeral, and it's a modern version of the Bible, and it said, in my father's house are large rooms. I thought, that won't do for me. A mansion, my friend, you don't deserve it. You are filthy and rotten, but a mansion in the skies. Oh, such a place to live with Christ. He's preparing a place for you who fear him and tremble at his word and hope in his mercy. And because you're so afraid of dying, you have to pray and keep praying about your dying day. And ask the Lord to be with you and prepare you. He's preparing such a mansion. And now, you see, under the sweet influence of the Holy Ghost, Jesus is believed on in the world. Believed on in the world. We're in the world. Do you believe on him? This is the mystery of godliness, isn't it? Believed on in the world, received up into glory. Do you believe on him in this world? Pray your way along. Trust in him. You say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a poor sinner, but I can go to no one but thyself and plead free grace and free mercy. I did want to emphasize the freeness. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And to him that is athirst, will I give the fountain of the water of life freely. It will produce to say sometimes, yes, he freely gives according to the promise. And so it is. According to the promise. They used to express it this way sometimes, that this salvation is free for the asking. And grace taught your heart to believe. And grace taught your heart to pray. And grace helps you still to ask the way to Zion in looking unto Jesus. And it's such a free grace promises. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him, and he that heareth, let him that heareth say, come. This is Christ speaking in the church. And then Christ speaks himself. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Dear friends, he's promised, if you confess your sins to him, on account of his bounty, his grace, his love, to truly forgive your sins. Well, may we confess them, but very briefly. I don't like being brief, but I must. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that not only ventures after me, but so lives upon me, and so feels something of my love and my mercy to him, he must take up his cross. He must confess him. Years ago, back in 1978, I visited a friend, and they're very critical of the Gospel Standard churches and all the rest of it, and I usually hear these complaints, and I thought, well, I don't know what to say. I'll have to tell him the Lord's mercies to me. So I told him, tried to tell him. It wasn't very easy in somewhat hostile company, but the Lord gave me such boldness. And I spoke about his dealings with me over the years, and the sweet hope, and his rising with healing in his wings, you know. And it silenced the critic. But anyway, I got home, and it came very solemn to me. You've told one who really doesn't sympathise All the Lord's mercies. What about his dear people? Oh, his dear church here below. Yes, come and hear, all ye that fear God, it seemed to come to me, and I'll tell you what he's done for my soul. Well, I couldn't do it immediately. I was so frightened and nervous, but had to wait upon the Lord. But the set time came. I was unable to do so. Why, my friends, have put on Christ. Oh, dear friends, he was baptized. I can well understand good John the Baptist saying he didn't want to do it. It was the wrong way around. He felt that Christ ought to baptize him, not he baptized Christ. Suffer it to be so now, to fulfill all righteousness. I set forth in this my death and my resurrection, the bearing of the sins of my dear people, rising again unto newness of life, immersed in my love, immersed in all the riches of my eternal everlasting love. Oh, and following me, following me. Yes, my dear friends, worthy to be followed by those who fear him and hope in him, hope in his mercy, or those who value his precious blood, value him so much they pray to him. And those who receive tokens, you see, tokens of love and mercy, intimations, perhaps a little kiss of his mouth to your soul. Ah, and be baptized. And is baptized. You know, dear friends, and the other glorious gospel institution and ordinances, the Lord's Supper. Oh, that we could value Emmanuel more than we value our natural food. You see, his flesh is meat indeed and his blood is drink indeed. So he broke the bread and said, this is my body. Yes, this sets forth what I am to you. Oh, you see, take heed, this is my body. Oh, his people eat him, they live upon him as their bread. He's the children's bread. It sets forth his sacred humanity. We live upon the God-man. The God-man. We cannot live upon naked divinity. I speak most reverently. Holy, holy, divine, eternal God. Hallowed be God's great name. But we daren't approach that God without a mediator. The mediation of the God-man. God with us. Who lived for us, died for us, rose again the third day, ascended for us, lives in heaven for us to hear our prayers and present those poor, failing prayers perfect before God. Intercedes, and your heavenly Father hears your prayers by the merit and intercession of his beloved Son, who is raised up to plead your cause in heaven's court above. Oh, my dear friends, do this in remembrance of me, being so good to you. You who live upon him daily, pour out your heart unto him, lean heavily upon him and trust in him. Oh, may such an one do these things in remembrance of him. And the infinite worth and value of the blood of the everlasting covenant, fully atoned for your sin. Set forth in the wine, the wine. Oh, that wine that makes glad the heart of man, we read in Proverbs, don't we? That wine of the kingdom. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, the spouse said. Those stayed with the flagons of wine. And well, what does wine do? Naturally taken lawfully in limited measures, is a gift of God. Of course, there's the sin of drunkenness, the Lord preserve us, but taken in lawful measures for health, what does it do? It naturally cheers the spirit. It warms the inside, doesn't it? And it strengthens the body. And doesn't the wine of the kingdom strengthen your poor soul at times? Cheers your troubled heart. You hope in his mercy. Why? The wine sets forth the blood of the ever lasting covenant shed for many. I'm glad it says many. It does say many, you know. for the remission of sins. Bring no money, price, or aught, no good deeds, nor pleasing frames. Mercy never can be bought. Grace is free, and all the lambs. But you'll be chastising me for keeping you. So I mustn't really continue. He that believeth reverences me, delights in me, confesses his sins, hopes in me, trusts in me, who has to come to me, yes, who waits upon me, and who worships me from his heart and values me and weeps at my feet. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, shall be, most divinely certain. It's a solemn note to close on, but it's scripture, so we must follow the divine pattern. And he that believeth not shall be damned. Unspeakably solemn. He that doesn't pray. He that never weeps at my feet. He never that casts his care. Sees no beauty in me. Doesn't long after me. Doesn't want me to bless him. Doesn't need me to help him. Doesn't need to be clothed. Doesn't need to be washed. Doesn't need to be prepared for heaven. Be damned. Damned. Oh, what an awful destruction. My friends, there's a worm that doesn't die. There's a fire that isn't quenched. I said to the friends this afternoon at Fen Stanton, I'll say the same here, and closing thoughts. I feel I must say it really. Well, as I try and preach a little something of this precious gospel to you, I do it with a desire that each and every one, according to God's eternal will, for he's a sovereign and does as he pleases. But I preach it with a desire that poor sinners here, from the old to the youngest, might be saved. Not one among us might sing to that terrible place. Because I know something of the terrors of that place and the awful judgment of God. But I know, oh, the resurrection and the life. Precious gospel. Well, I'd have to close. He that believeth baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, may that precious gospel do us good. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Now, Lord, do forgive all that the weakness in the preaching of thy precious gospel. The gospel is very precious, for thou art precious. And can it please thee that thou bring some of those precious truths into our poor hearts to do us good, have a lasting and a saving effect upon us, that in due time we may be able to so walk in Christ and put thee on in an open profession. And that those who have made profession, we beg to be kept faithful unto the end. Lord, do pardon all mistakes, all things said wrongly. We can't make the gospel sweet and precious ourselves, but the Holy Ghost can. And we beg the Spirit may make thy person precious to us each, and may we think upon thy name as we journey home. So take us under thy shadow and do forgive and do bless, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake.
The collections last Lord's Day were £735, for which we are very thankful, and the collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society was £1,035, again for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, and the church will meet for prayer on Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Let us close with hymn 1035. Return my wandering heart to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. Hymn 1035.
Of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.